Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition, is now underway. Congratulations, you've tuned into the right place. At the right time. Don't touch that dial or podcast device or phone or whatever it is you're using to
listen. Touch the volume dial, though. Crank it up.
Turn it up. It's Freebird, man. It's Freedom Rock. I used to listen to this syndicated radio program back in the early 80s called Metal Shop, the only show with teeth. And one of their slogans as they would come back from breaks would be like, Metal Shop, if it's too loud, you're too old.
I love that. Yeah. Shouldn't it be the opposite, though, because old people are deaf? Right?
Old people are telling the kids to turn it down. Yeah.
Turn down that racket. That's not music.
Nikki never got to experience Headbangers Ball.
Oh, yeah. She didn't miss that. Ricky Rackman's a giant douchebag. Okay. Anyway, right. So, you know.
It was the metal show on MTV.
Adam Curry was also a poser.
All right.
Potsy-like proportions. He was all preppy and everything, and then, like, they gave him the Headbangers Ball. And, like, Ricky Rackman to some extent, too, right? As soon as they gave him the Headbangers Ball, all of a sudden, Ricky Rackman got, like, you know, full sleeves, like, since last week. Of tattoos or whatever, right? You know, he never had a tattoo in his life. He'd be wearing, like, pink shirts and, you know, what do you call them? What are the tan...
Polos?
Yeah, khakis. Yeah, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden he's, like, leather and, like, you know, spikes and tattoos and bandanas and crap.
It's what the Satan music does to you.
Well, no, it's what the producers told him that he had to do to change his image in order to continue hosting the Headbangers Ball.
Nope, it's the metal, evil metal music.
He did what his boss told him to do. What a douchebag.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, like that.
What a sellout.
Totally. What a sellout, man. He did what his boss told him to do. I have to say some things.
Say them in the right order this time.
No, I have to say thank you to a couple of different people.
You're welcome.
Other than the co-hosts here in the studio, which, by the way, who are you?
I'm Nikki.
And Rich.
And I'm the captain. The telephone number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. We do have some callers on hold. We'll get to them in just a moment. But I want to say thank you to David Burns and Carlos. Both David Burns and Carlos are platinum-level amplifiers. That means they give a bunch of money to Free Talk Live every month because they like the show. They like the hosts, the co-hosts, the perspective that we bring of freedom, peace, prosperity on the radio. They want to see this radio program reach more listeners with our message of freedom. And so they have donated a bunch of money. Platinum level is no joke. We only ask for $5. If you want to, you know, join Carlos and David Burns in becoming an amplifier, visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. And you can contribute as well. You do get some things, or some little gifty perk kind of things. One of them is the Amp Only podcast, which is completely commercial free. So if you miss any of the episodes live, or you just don't have the time to listen to them with the commercials, then you can get a commercial free by becoming an amplifier. That's not why you should give. You should give because you like the perspective of freedom and wish to see that message spread, and you feel that the best use of your dollar is to contribute to amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, David Burns and Carlos. We appreciate you both.
And if you like being recognized on the air, let Mark know at mark@freetalklive.com.
Can I just say, hey, Mark, I like being recognized on the air?
I mean, you can, but they should send an email so Mark knows.
They can't just call and be like, hey, we...
Well, when Mark's on the air, sure.
Okay.
But how often is that?
I mean, couldn't they call and just say, hey, tell Mark that I said...
Sure. Well,
yeah, just... Okay. Yeah. So making it a lot of work.
I feel like...
Mark at freetalklive.com.
I feel like... I mean, I know for a fact the world has certainly gotten away from making phone calls.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's an uncommon thing. Like, it used to be the first thing you would think of. Like, something would happen, you'd be like, I gotta tell Dave. I'm gonna call Dave. That doesn't happen now. You're like, I gotta tell Dave. I gotta log into my thing and blah, 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 and private message him and send, wait for him to reply and whatever.
I mean, only if what you have to tell Dave you don't want the FBI knowing about.
Like, well, if you do, neither the phone nor the device are
drive to his house, bang on the door, you know?
And I mean,
that's
we know,
even worse than phone calls now.
Like, we know for a fact that...
Who's that at the door?
Yeah, you better not show up here.
We know for a fact Federales are listening to this very program.
Understood.
So it has been confirmed by the Federales themselves while attending Ian's trial. So, at any rate, what were we talking about?
We were moving on.
We were moving on. To your calls and thoughts, we have Bad Slave calling from New Hampshire.
Wow, thank you for taking my call.
Wow, you're welcome.
I wanted to bring up, Corpse.
Should have wrote it down, bro. Should have wrote it down.
Well, I have two things. There's a...
Do you remember the other one?
You're making him nervous.
That's true.
Sorry, I won't make him nervous anymore.
Compliance or something like that. It's actually a documentary of, you know, the details of kind of the nuts and bolts of how, you know, the different state and local and people governments work in America, and it's a lot of information that I don't think you know. It's pretty obvious to me that that people don't know these things very well.
Do you think the documentary would convince everybody to change their mind, though? Because I feel like people are set in their ways. You go like, just check out this video, man. It'll explain everything.
Maybe some people. You know?
Think?
Some people just honestly don't know some of this stuff, and if open their eyes to it, they might be open to it.
All right.
A lot of people that are, you know, wondering how do we get here?
Yes, we know.
And it just seems crazy. It's done by this woman, Christiane. She's in Florida. She's a real liberty person.
What's the name of it?
Compliance.
Film? What year was it made? 2012?
No, it's brand new.
Oh.
Just came out. It's being released right now. I just pulled it up.
October 2020. No, so those both.
I mean, there was also like the Monopoly on Violence, right? That was supposed to explain how government works. And supposed to get people rallied around freedom and liberty. And
that didn't work.
Of course not. Not going to convince people that they want to be free. You just have to free them, like 8-year-olds in a house all by themselves. See what happens.
Lord of the Flies.
The name of it is Non-Compliant.
That's better.
Go on.
Isn't that Captain's song? We will not comply.
So the name of that song is actually called It's Time.
It's Time.
Yeah. I haven't actually mentioned that. I should start mentioning that every time I'm on this show, that I am going to be releasing a 3-song EP of, we'll call it heavy metal.
Okay.
It's not really thrash metal. It has a little bit of thrash element to it, but it's more just like standard heavy metal.
On guitar, Captain Kickass.
Well, on everything on except
bass,
for
Captain Kickass.
Yes, on vocals, on backup vocals. On, it's truly the Captain Kickass solo project, except for
well, the pork fat. Yeah,
I did get some help on a couple of tracks. My friend Steven contributed drums. My friend Sean contributed drums on one song each, and then I did the drums on the third song. And then my friend Chris did bass on the song called Words. And then also my friend Chris, my friend Brent, and my friend Steven all helped with backup vocals on Words as well. So I had some help, and I've given them credits, of course.
And kind
of
the Pork Fest chant. That's the best.
The Pork Fest Liberty Chorus appears. So if you were at Pork Fest and you participated in the Pork Fest picture, you noticed that I was there with some recording equipment. And I had a couple people holding signs up that said, "We will not comply." We engaged in a chant of "We will not comply," like a whole bunch of times. I recorded all of that. I molted it on top of itself, which means I just made it sound like there were a whole bunch more of us that were there to make it sound really big. And then I put that at the end of the very last track called It's Time. So it sort of ends with the Porkfest Liberty Chorus chanting "We will not comply" over and over again, and sort of fades out from there. So it's pretty cool. If you were at that, you're on this record. So I just want to...
You're famous!
Yeah, let our listeners know. The official release date is July 4th of this year, but it will be available at Porkfest and Forkfest. And I hope to have some other stuff to announce about that later on as time goes on, as we get closer to that date. But that's the plan currently.
I hope that chant gets as famous as Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, maybe.
Good work, Captain. Good work.
Hey, thanks. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bad Slave. Go ahead.
Well, that's all right. I remembered what I was thinking about was a guy on his own island, you know, in his car or whatever. Right. Yeah, well, that, you know, there is still a retained right to travel. What they call driving is a commercial activity. Yeah, I mean, you must know some of this stuff. But, you know, Jay Noon does not use a driver's license. And, if Ellison was, you know, properly prepared, I think he could have talked
I don't think Ellison cares because he's rich.
And right? From what I understand, he did have a license. The story made it seem like he did have a license, but he just didn't have it on him.
So affidavit with the license, whatever, and he's off the hook.
Which is strange that even nowadays that's a thing, because they can just look you up and see if you have a valid driver's license or not.
You got to know who you are.
If they can access it digitally, then that should be plenty. But the fact is that we have still a right to travel. And that none of us need driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
None of us need registrations. None of us need insurance. All of that stuff is a layer of bureaucracy that's been, tacked on to a commercial use of the public way called driving.
I agree with you in theory, but we cannot ignore the practical application of exercising that theory, right? Which is
you're not going to be allowed to. The fact is that you say, "Hey, I'm a private operator. I don't need a license, and thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Right.
Try to drive away.
Your car's still going to get towed.
You're still gonna, right. So here's I'm going to get deep
and in
for
some
a minute.
Cases, these people are able to deal with it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm
going to
get deep.
Deeper.
I'm going to get deep for a minute because deep. This goes down. This is like the fundamentals of what we describe as rights, right? And a right is like one of two things: that which everyone has agreed upon, or that which you can defend, right? So if you're saying I have a right to travel without a license, everyone has to agree with you, or you have to defend that right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you're not, you know, defending it against the cops on the side of the road, probably not the best idea.
Right, like you think of Old West, right? You just, you know, get in your horse, maybe you're pulling a little wagon behind you or something like that, and, you know, you are free to travel, and you would go ahead and travel. Now, if somebody came up and tried to rob you
or a bandit of some kind,
you would indeed have to defend yourself.
They would disagree with your right to travel. They would argue that, nope, this is our road.
Or try and charge you in some way or whatever it
is.
Right.
Bridge troll.
Right.
Right. And so when that happens, right, there's a disagreement. There's a conflict of what your rights are. And your only recourse is to negotiate out of it or defend it. Right. And if you negotiate out of it and get them to agree with you that they don't know, just need my right to travel.
Right.
All well and good. But the likelihood is the bandit on the side of the road or the troll under the bridge is not going to come into agreement with you at that time.
Right.
And you're going to be forced to defend yourself against that violent encroachment on their part. And the same goes with exercising this right to travel. And I'm just going to put on private plates on my car because I'm a sovereign citizen of the world. Like, you're probably right. There's probably some historical precedent in the law somewhere that makes this true.
Right.
But the practical application does not bear it out.
Well, and not only so you're right from the fundamental perspective. You're also correct from even the legal perspective, because the men with guns and the blue and red flashing lights will either ticket you or detain you and chuck you in a cage, and you're going to have to defend that in a court. So either way, you're going to have to defend it and defending it in court, while it may seem completely legal to you, and you have followed the exact letter of the law on every technicality that you can find within the law itself. The law itself, either the jury or the judges, can very well just say, nope, sorry, it's illegal anyway, and you're sentenced to whatever.
I've experienced that. We don't have to share a...
We've awoken a guest speaker. His name is Matt.
Yeah, I'm here. And I just want to kick in on this. This one's near and dear to my heart. I actually beat a no driver's license ticket in 2012.
Yeah.
Based on what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
There is a mountain of case law preceding this that says you don't need a driver's license.
Absolutely.
A mountain of case law. Some of it coming straight from the Supreme Court.
Sure.
That said, I beat that case in my hometown. It was one of the most stressful things I've ever been through.
How did you beat it, though? Let me ask.
I presented a brief to the court, and I defended it. I put myself on the stand and made the prosecutor really nervous, to be honest. Like, the look in his eyes said he was on a three-week bender right before coming to court, and I made him really nervous on top of it, so he was having a stressful day. That said, he was extremely combative against me. The judge basically noticed how combative he was and shut him up so that I could talk. So the guy was just interrupting. He wasn't even objecting. He was just interrupting. And I ended up giving a brief to the judge laying out all the definitions, what the definition of traffic is and things like that. These words have meaning legally, not just colloquially. And sometimes those meanings are, sometimes those definitions are totally different.
But for every one of you who beat something like this, using the technicalities of the law and the mountain of case law that exists against this, there's probably 50 people who didn't.
Oh, I immediately, right 6 months later, I lived in Keene. I lived in New Hampshire 6 months later.
Yeah.
And about a year after that, I got another ticket from a state trooper right out in front of Home Depot in Keene. And I went to fight that one in Keene City Court and lost miserably. They wouldn't even listen to it.
Right.
So, buyer beware on using these techniques to try to fight one of these tickets, because...
But there's historical precedent. It goes to the Supreme Court.
And it doesn't matter at all.
That's my point.
It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter in Ian Freeman's trial, the Crypto Six trial. Doesn't matter what the law is, because judges and these legal-type government people are just going to make up the rules as they go, whether you like it or not. And that's the end of that.
Right. That's my point with the practical application. Right.
Yeah.
There's precedent, there's case law, there's all this documentation. No, we are correct on this issue, and the people with guns go, we don't care.
The government is the mafia that is currently most powerful, and the only time that changes is when another powerful mafia outpowers the one that's existing.
Well, good
luck
with that.
That shows at the highest levels and in your hometown courtroom repeatedly.
Yeah,
well, it is what it is. That's all I had to say.
You're going to owe Nikki like $50 or something. Huh?
Sorry. I bought her a new battery for her car tonight.
So. Oh, okay. Good job. Never mind.
We're even.
Totally earned.
She got flowers today, too.
Oh, nice.
You know, you guys were saying good luck with that. I'm just saying that if there was any kind of a consensus or just a strong minority of people who agreed with that, that number would be so much greater than the thugs running around.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You can't convince the minority.
But how do we create that, you know, even a larger percentage of people that are even aware of this information, much less who tried to put it to use as a defense? How do we get to that point is always the question, and I don't know the answer, and I'm sure you don't know the answer. Unless you do, tell it to us.
Even beyond this, let's go to, taxes. Right, every tax case that comes up with the IRS, right, goes in front of a jury. He was found willful failure to file or didn't pay his fair share.
Right,
and the jury, who could acquit him on that and set a precedent that no one needs to pay taxes, will find him guilty because they're already paying theirs, and he's got to do the same as me.
It's just fair.
Right. It's just fair. Right, so the mechanism put in place, to get the government off our back through the will of the people at the jury box, is misused by most of the jury because they care more about harming their neighbor.
It's a completely ineffective mechanism. Themselves.
Well, and this goes back to the fact that the jury is supposed to be made up of your peers, and they're absolutely not peers.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. At least not in the case that I witnessed for Ian and the Crypto Six.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Go ahead, Best Life.
Now, I had, operating after certified as a habitual offender in three counties and five counts spread across from Coos to Grafton to Hillsboro, yes.
Yeah.
Which in the court was in Manchester, and I was trying to use three public defenders to defend me from.
Oh, well, there's your problem right there. You got to go pro bono or pro se or pro per, whatever the right term is, because they're not going to defend you using these techniques.
You know, and there were questions that I asked them that, they wouldn't even include my suggestion into the, the defense that I wanted.
Yeah, because the defense that they're going to put on is the one that makes them look good in front of the judge, because they have to go see that judge again for some other client in the future, and they don't want to get on the judge's bad side.
Right.
And if they don't know anything about the defense that you're, the specific defense that you're trying to put forward, then they just can't, and they're not willing to do the work to look it up and, put their neck out on
the line. Not as a public defender.
Yeah, and particularly as a public defender. And they're, to them, the suggestions that you're making, Bad Slave, are going to sound shady. Right, because they've never heard of them before, and they're not taught in their law school. And
this law is from the Sixth Circuit, not the Fifth Circuit, so it doesn't apply to you, sir.
And thanks for the call, Ben Slade. We appreciate it. It's just like, it sounds shady to them. They're not going to use it because it seems illogical, and they know they're not going to win. 603-283-6160. More of your calls and thoughts coming up. It's Free Talk Live, the Sunday Night Edition.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Reports say the suspect, who was barricaded in a white van during an armed standoff with authorities in Torrance, California, is dead. It appears that person shot and killed themselves on Sunday. Word is that could be the suspect from Saturday night's Monterey Park shooting that left 10 people dead. A drive-by shooting in Shreveport, Louisiana, has left at least 6 people wounded, including 4 children. The police say someone drove down the street and opened fire on a house. Lisa Marie Presley is being laid to rest at Graceland. Hundreds gathered on Sunday to pay their respects to the late singer at the mansion once owned by her father, rock icon Elvis Presley. In sports, the Cincinnati Bengals have advanced to the AFC Championship game, and they do it on the road. A victory over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, 27-10. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Cliff there, you know, ramp up, big ramp, little cliff. It's Free Talk Live, the final segment, 603-283-6160. We'll get to your calls and thoughts.
Final segment, but plenty of time for your calls.
Momentarily.
Ironically.
Well, we got a couple callers on hold already, so we'll see what happens. But certainly give us a try. 603-283-6160 in the studio. It's me, Captain.
It's me, Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. For 2023, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before Pork Fest. Fork Fest is decentralized, which means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you need to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. where you can connect with other attendees. You can also find the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms and the ForkFest forum. Links to all of those can be found at ForkFest.party. We hope to see you there, ForkFest.party.
Should live stream it. Call it reality TV of some kind.
If only the internet up there was capable.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, on kind of on that note, YouTube is the real reality TV. When people do vlogs and stuff, that's way more real than whatever. Reality TV is not real at all.
Also, before we go on, I just want to mention our previous caller in the last segment mentioned a documentary. It looks like it's called Non-Compliant, with a, you know, singular compliant.
Hard T.
It is available at libertyfirstsociety.com/non-compliant, a documentary film. I think if you just go to libertyfirstsociety.com, there's links to get you to watch the film there. It's free to watch.
Cool.
So if you want to check it out, feel free to do so.
What's that website again?
LibertyFirstSociety.com.
Cool.
All spelled out. No numerals or anything. I'm not familiar with the website at all. They obviously didn't pay me to, you know, pimp this movie at all. So I haven't watched it, so don't take it as a recommendation. Bad Slave had recommended it, one of our callers. So,
take it as his recommendation.
I want to tell folks where they might be able to find it.
All emails should be sent to Bad Slave at Free Talk Live.
Oh, boy. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good to be on the show with you. So it seems like Albuquerque, we're going to be keeping a free bus ride fare. I mean,
well, somebody's paying for it.
Well, I mean, they're tossing it back and forth about they were going to do it for another 6 months. But for me, I mean, I prefer the free bus ride because even...
Well, yeah, because it doesn't cost you anything. Somebody else is paying for it.
I like when other people pay for my stuff, too.
Well, I mean, think about it. I only ride the bus maybe 10, 12 times a month. So a $2 bus pass is about, what, $20 a month? I mean, it's not the money cost of it. It's the hassle of having the change ready and my hands all dirty, putting it in the bus, and sometimes I leave without
it. Yeah, they make bus pass cards, and you can just load them up whenever you need them, and it's fine.
She said it's like $20 a month.
No. You can buy reloadable bus cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where it's like you've got like a zero balance, and then you throw $20 on it, and then it's just sitting there for whenever you need it, and you don't have to. You just flash it in front of the thing, and
got
it's fine.
Oh, it's the smart. I've seen those people do that. They flash the smartphone and they load it up on the phone. That's how they do it.
Yeah, you got to get with the times there, Sarah.
You don't even need a card anymore.
It's 2023.
Well, I still have a dumb phone, but that's not the problem. Is that what I noticed is that when we were used to pay, there was as much as the fighting and all kinds of crazy things going on when we were paying for the bus. In fact, there was a lot of fights and arguments with people trying to argue and fight with getting on the bus, and they're asking for bus fares going up and down the aisle, and then I had to help
them out. Bus police, yeah. I ran into those guys in Seattle while I was riding the bus. My car was, I didn't have one at the time, and I was riding the bus. My employer paid for a bus pass. But I was working weird hours, and so I would, you know, come home late at night. And they have these. They're not police, but they look. They're wearing Seattle police uniforms. No, they're bus police is what they are. So they're not armed with guns. So they have a police utility belt, the police shirt, the Seattle Police Department patches and insignia on them. But their jacket says something like transit police, right? And they don't have a gun. They do have a billy club. They do have handcuffs. And they have the police radio as well.
Weird.
And so what they're doing is they're looking for people who are free riding, right? Who you didn't pay the fare. You don't have a pass. Get off the bus kind of a thing, right? And I'm like... What, it costs them more to employ these people than it does to just let a couple of people ride for free.
That's a great point.
Well, but if you didn't have the police, you'd have more people trying to ride for free.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. But that's kind of
like Sarah.
The thing. No, it's just that, you know, over here they get on the bus drunk and they
get on the bus. Well, you want them driving drunk? Of course they're going to take the bus.
Look at it. I mean, I was on the Central bus at like 9:30 at night, like 10 o'clock, and I turn around, there's these two guys fighting, fist fighting in the middle of the bus, And I'm ducking. So,
and you got free entertainment?
I mean, it is Albuquerque.
Like, you got a reality TV show going on right in front of you, Sarah. If you had not a dumb phone, you could have filmed that, put it on the internet, and gotten viewers to like your page on your TikTok or whatever.
Bum fights would have had this.
Sarah, thank you for the call. We're gonna move on. Have a good night. Let's do that. Let's just move on to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Fry pan into the fire.
You're shocked?
I'm shocked at Nikki's preference of plastic over natural.
Plastic what?
What do you mean?
Well, condoms.
Oh, latex instead of the sheepskin.
I get you. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Not sheepskin girl, sorry.
You know, I mean.
So you prefer a plastic over
I'm not going to tell you what I prefer.
Well, this is all hypothetical anyway.
She probably prefers not to be talking to you about this crap anyway.
Maybe I should talk to Matt. So if you prefer plastic over sheepskin, so do you prefer or would somebody else who is female might prefer plastic other things over real flesh other things?
I'm assuming they would, yes.
Clearly.
I just like the fact that two or three of us have said the word would like 18 times in the last 4 seconds.
There you go.
How or much would a woodchuck chuck?
If a woodchuck could chuck wood.
If a woodchuck. And that woodchuck, well, that brings up the question of beavers, then. What would beavers do?
Well,
not let you anywhere near them.
You don't know beavers. You don't know beavers.
Ward, don't you think you were a little hard on the beaver last night?
Hard on the beaver?
I've heard that before.
That was actually said in an episode of Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. Yes. I've heard that before. That's what I was saying.
Oh, I thought you said you never heard it before.
No, I didn't throw a never in there. I never use the word never.
I never thought you would.
But that brings up another question, though, Nikki. So, assuming that you eat meat, and you might like a good sausage from time to time.
I don't.
Well, you probably had one in your life.
Yeah.
Have you had enough sausages that you have a preference over natural or plastic?
Sausage?
You mean the casing?
I've never had.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, all right. I think David, thanks for the call. I think he's getting a little carried away.
Probably.
Sausage casing. Yeah. On Free Talk Live.
Sounds like David's at a sausage fest anyway.
No beavers of that thing.
All right, so I've been wanting to get to this topic, this story, all night.
It is by far
the most important story on Free Talk Live all week long.
In our lifetime.
In perhaps even the lifetime of the known universe.
Oh, my goodness.
It's that compelling of a headline. It is one of the most... It's got to be... I want to write a song.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
That is this headline.
You haven't seen the Telegram chat?
No.
This is the headline now. Railroad worker rescues raccoon after the hair on its butt got frozen to the tracks.
Aw, poor guy.
Railroad worker rescues raccoon after the hair on its butt got frozen to the tracks. I was just trying to keep a beat to that.
Okay.
See if I make it into a song. Railroad worker rescues raccoon after the hair on its butt got frozen to the tracks. It's not quite musical.
No.
Might have to shave a word or two off.
Something off.
Yes. He was from the wrong side of the tracks.
trying to get to the wrong side of the tracks.
This is from goodnewsnetwork.org. Where do you... I don't even want to know.
No, Good News Network's good. Usually good stuff. It's a little bit...
Oh, I like that one, yeah.
It's sometimes they go a little heavy on state propaganda, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to read this story.
The title says
railroad worker rescues raccoon, okay? After the hair on its butt... Who, the railroad worker?
No,
the raccoon. Or the raccoon.
Raccoon.
Right? Got frozen to the tracks.
So just imagine you're trying to climb over railroad tracks and your little legs are a little too short to get all the way over and it's cold.
They do have a picture of this.
So you're like, you do a little pop and a straddling
a single railroad track.
Right, and then all of a sudden you can't move because your butt crack hair froze to the railroad track, and the train is inbound.
In order for that to have happened, it first needed to be moist, right? And then it needed to be, like, wintry out, right?
I think, well, it's definitely wintry out. I don't know how moist the butt hair on a raccoon is at any given time.
That's from the article.
Oh, we are going
to
get into it.
Railroad workers were able to rescue a stricken male raccoon after it became frozen to the tracks, stuck fast by the hair on its private parts.
Right in the tank. That's not one of the seven words, right?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think it is. I just, the poor little bastard, right?
You know? Yeah.
Like, what a story to tell his raccoon friends. You're not going to believe what happened to me.
Right?
I was just trying to climb over the railroad tracks.
And do you think that maybe the next time he bumps into, like, the guy who found him and, like, sort of rescued him or whatever? Yeah. No.
Do you think
he's going to become, like, his pet raccoon? Like, they're going to have a... Or do you think it'll be awkward eye contact?
It'll be awkward. Yeah.
Okay. The animal was seen
facing...
That's
something you never talk about again. All right, bro, you can you can go back there, do whatever you need to do to get me unstuck, and then we don't tell the story to anybody.
We never speak of this.
Especially to the Good News Network.
Well, I mean, I don't talk to raccoons very often, do you?
No, not particularly.
All right. The animal was seen facing the oncoming train carriage as it straddled one side of the track. Neil Mullis was out on the job when he came across the poor little guy. The traumatized-looking raccoon was eventually rescued after a five-minute operation.
Wow.
Sounds like they performed surgery on him. Operation.
I mean, they got to get the hair removed from the track.
Can you just take scissors?
I guessed that it was going to involve
warm water.
Warm water. And it says, quote, I poured the warm water under his bottom while a co-worker worked the shovel under his butt to try and break him loose, said the 35-year-old.
You don't want to get too close to the raccoon. It might be like trying to go on the offensive there.
Yeah, you want to have some distance, you know, 5-foot pole or something like that.
Guy, we're just going to pour some water on you.
Yeah.
Then we're going to scrape you off this railroad track with a shovel.
That's pretty much what happened. After about 5 minutes of slowly working him loose, he was free. He jumped off the rail and ran into the woods, never looking back.
See? Yeah.
Why would you look back?
Oh, embarrassing.
Right?
Not even a wave. Thank you, guys.
Despite the rescue efforts from Neil and his colleagues, nobody could tell how or why the raccoon got into this predicament near Cochrane, Georgia. Well, next time nobody's on the show, we'll have to ask him about this, if nobody can tell
how. Some
of
the patients Nikki brought up, like, God, we don't know how it got in there. I just accidentally sat on the railroad track.
Yeah, some of the medical insertions that come through.
Yeah.
I'm guessing because it was 10 degrees outside, somehow he was crossing over the rail and sat too long and got stuck. And they have a close-up picture of like some fur stuck to the frozen to the track that they had to sort of snip off, if you will.
With a shovel. They snipped it off with a shovel.
Why did they include that photo? That just seems unnecessary.
It sounds painful. It really, I really feel bad for this little raccoon.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's freed and get by a train. Yay!
After inspecting the clumps of fur left on the rail, Neil summed it up by saying, "Operation well performed. Little fella is safe now." Yep. So, there you go. Railroad worker rescues raccoon. So many things had to have happened for this to become a thing. Right.
Okay.
The raccoon had to, again, have, you know, come into contact with some moisture somehow, then attempted to straddle this railroad track in such a way that it froze to the track.
Like, to his bum.
Yeah, like, how long did he sit on this track before he realized, oh, I'm stuck?
If it's 10 degrees, it may not have been that long.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, raccoons aren't known for their lack of nimbility or speed, right? Usually they would hurdle something like a railroad track rather lickety split. Maybe he was injured or something.
Maybe he was climbing over, thought it was just a fart. It wasn't. Got stuck.
I'm almost wondering now, after having watched A Christmas Story, right, where the dude sticks his tongue to and gets stuck. Like,
or Dumb and Dumber.
I'm wondering if there was another raccoon in this story that is unmentioned because the rail workers didn't know about it, who dared him to, like, wet his butt and sit on the railroad track for a minute.
That's just dangerous.
I mean, it's It sounds like something one of, like, your older, younger brother might put you up to as a kid.
Yeah, but at least with the pole, there's not, like, a train coming. You know?
I mean, it does add an element of danger.
Yeah.
You know, exciting, a
little too much, the oncoming train, a little too much danger.
Maybe.
We've only got 5 minutes to rescue this little guy. What are we going to do?
I mean, raccoons do look like little bandits, and so maybe he had a gambling debt that he hasn't repaid yet. And the little raccoon mafia, like, abducted
little
him.
Little raccoon Snidely Whiplash tied him to the railroad track.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
We don't even need rope. Just wet his butt a little bit.
Just wet his butt and make him sit there, and he'll be stuck. And when the train comes along,
just hold him. Hold raccoon him down until he's stuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Train to make him into flatcoon. Flat raccoon. Flatcoon?
Flat raccoon. It was a beef raccoon with the squirrels in the area.
He had a beef with the squirrel. So,
or Chip, was it Chippendale?
Oh, yeah. What are they? Chipmunks?
Chipmunks, yeah.
Chipmunk, not Chipmonk.
Chipmunk?
Chipmunks are the, you know, they wear the robes with the hoods and they pray a lot, and they're chipmunks, not chipmunks. Right, yeah. So, just, there's a difference between the two.
From the Dorito region of France or something?
Yeah, they don't really talk about it much.
But, okay.
You know, there's a chipmunk monastery.
Okay.
That, you know, if you ever want to find it, maybe they'll answer your questions. I don't know.
Hmm.
Now, if they don't talk that much.
Perhaps they know what happened to this raccoon. Perhaps they know. We don't know.
Well, it ran off into the woods.
It did.
We'll see. It just turns into like a little raccoon fetish. Hey, I got that dude to rub my butt. I'm going to go hop on the railroad track again.
One last thing we had to mention tonight is this from RT.com. The University of Southern California's School of Social Work apparently has banned the word field, as in like football field or field of greens.
Or field of study.
Yes, field of study, yes.
Yeah.
The University of Southern California explained the move by the need to reflect anti-racist values.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's because black people worked in the field.
I've worked in a field. I've run on a field.
Oh,
okay. I mean, I'm not. It's true. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's like saying we have to ban cotton balls because of the history.
Because of balls?
Yes, because of balls. No, because of the history of slaves picking cotton.
Yeah.
It's just, like, ridiculous. Like
polyester.
You know?
Do you remember when the phrase cotton picking was a substitute for cussing?
I think it still is.
Well, but it's racist.
Oh, okay.
Right? So no longer. When's the last time you heard anybody say cotton picking?
Probably on an old movie of some kind.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. So, but way back in the day, that was an accepted substitute for cussing.
Okay. Right? Which word, I mean, which, you don't have to say the word, but which word did it replace?
Oh, I mean, it could have been any of them, really.
Okay.
You know? But it was certainly a reference to...
That cotton-picking son of a guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that cotton-picking Dave, he stole my wrench again or something.
Okay.
Right? You know what I mean? It could be a substitute for anything, really.
All right.
But it is rooted in racism, because the whole reason the phrase cotton-picking has that sort of connotation to it is because they were comparing you to a slave.
Oh.
So. The university...
We do the same with taxpayer.
Oh,
that
nice.
That taxpaying son of a guy.
Yeah, we should do that. Oh, yeah? You sound like a taxpayer.
We're starting a trend. Use it. Spread it once into the wild.
University of Southern California School of Social Work announced Monday that it is removing the word field, as in conducting field work, from its curriculum and practice and replacing it with the word practicum.
Because that won't get you.
Because that's not a portmanteau at all of two different words put together for the wrong reasons. Practicum.
Practical curriculum?
It's just like not the same word.
You just think about that for a while. It's not the same word. Removing it from his practice and saying that it may have racist connotations.
He is working in the practicum
of
applied sciences.
I think saying that it has racist connotations is racist in itself.
I think saying that has it is racist in itself.
But you know what I mean? It's part of the left when they get so woke that they come full circle racist.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, we have to protect the black people from all this stuff. No, you don't.
Yeah, the word field, I mean, like, I haven't thought about it in the terms of anything other than, like, a football field or a field of dreams or, you know, a meadow, something like that.
Well, I mean, the
until I read this.
The computer technology field, right, has right. done something
practicum.
Similar. Practicum. Yeah, the computer technology practicum has done something similar as well, right? There's no longer master and slave drives, right, in your computers, primary and secondary or
I mean,
whatever.
I guess I can see that more. I mean, but it's still like...
It's an inaccurate description.
It is.
One controls the other.
Yeah.
It's not a primary and a secondary.
Right, yeah. One is definitely master. One is definitely slave. Particularly in the audio industry, prior to the digital revolution, you could have a maximum of 24 tracks on a piece of 2-inch tape.
Okay.
Like literal reel-to-reel tape. And if you wanted more than 24 tracks, you would have to have 2 tape machines, 2 reels of tape, and 2 consoles capable of supporting 24 individual channels. You would have to sacrifice 1 channel on each board for what we call timecode, SMPT timecode. That's SMTPE, Society of Motion Picture Technology, something, whatever. It was timecode. So you'd stripe 1 of the tracks of tape with timecode, and then 1 of the tracks of the other tape with timecode, and that's how you synced them together. Okay. So when you pressed record, both the machines would operate at the exact same time and record everything at the same time so you could play it back at the same time. All 48 tracks could be played back at the same time. That was referred to as master and slave, and
okay.
I think still might be because it's such an old technology. Now that the digital revolution is coming, you can get way more than 48 tracks in the digital domain, so only old-school analog people refer to this sort of striping of time code to synchronize 2 analog machines together as master and slave, so I'm assuming it's just because it's old that the phrasing has remained.
And also applicable, right? If one controls the other,
right.
It's, one is clearly the master, one is clearly the slave.
Right. This change, this from the article, the change supports anti-racist social work practice by replacing language that could be considered anti-black or anti-immigrant in favor of inclusive language, the department explained in a letter shared by Dr. Hauman David Hamadi on Twitter. Language can be powerful, and phrases such as going into the field or fieldwork may have connotations for descendants of slavery and immigrant workers that are not benign.
I mean, it's a much better field.
And anything can have connotations for anything.
We're out of time. Thank you to the listeners and the callers. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me on this episode of Free Talk Live. If you missed any part of tonight's show, please visit freetalklive.com for the archives. Thanks and peace.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.